And welcome now to the midday for Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. As I mentioned, we'll have the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 4 to get some behind-the-scenes information from. And what better person than the one right here with me, Janina Fialkowska, who is performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night, that very same piece that actually was the last piece that Beethoven ever soloed in public, wasn't it? And yes. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you, Norman. I think he performed it from the manuscript. It hadn't been published yet.
That's Beethoven.
That's Beethoven in 1807. And you have to also remember that he was really profoundly deaf by then, because he had started going deaf, I think, in 1802. So 1807, it was pretty bad.
It's a fascinating phenomenon, yeah, how a person who is deaf can still compose
Incredible music. But, you have to be Beethoven, I think.
It helps, yeah. And it had this piece, the Piano Concerto No. 4, had kind of a handicap, didn't it, in that it was part of that huge all-Beethoven concert in Vienna on a cold, cold December night, and people were getting a little antsy.
Yes. Well, but I think it is unique among the five piano concertos, and yet, which makes it all the more interesting, it's the most lyrical. You know, it's the most sort of melodic, it's the least angry, and he's not particularly writing it to show off, like the Emperor when he wrote that. That
yes,
was definitely
a showstopper.
The fifth one is a showstopper. For me, the fourth is the greatest, but that's me, and a lot of my colleagues feel this way. It is an absolutely superb, beautiful piece, and, you know, can't get better.
Well, speaking of superb and beautiful, you actually worked with Arthur Rubinstein, kind of the ultimate Chopin interpreter of his day.
I did, and I was so incredibly lucky. It just all happened very, very by chance, because I was 22 or 23 years old, and I'd sort of given up the thought that I could ever be a concert pianist. Now, we're talking a long time ago. I'm a very, very old lady, and I'm in Canada, and women just did not become concert pianists. We just did not. You taught. And I was ambitious, and I wanted to be a concert pianist, but it just wasn't working. So what did I do? I said, well, I have to make a living, so I went into law school. Then CBC came along and said, there's this new competition in Israel, in Tel Aviv, international, and we would like you to go and represent Canada. This came just, you know, out of the blue. And I thought, no, I'm starting law school in September. I can't possibly go. But my teacher at Juilliard, Sasha Gordonitsky, and my parents said, no, go. You know, Arthur Rubinstein has been your idol all your life. This is a chance to shake his hand. So I went, and it was more than shaking hands. He took over my career. And he liked me very much. And he said, well, where do you play? I said, I don't play. I've never played a professional concert. And he said, well, we'll change that. And that was it. 44 concerts the next year.
How about law school?
Oh, it died. It died while I was still in Israel.
Well, you would be part of a long list of performers and composers who somewhere along the line started law school and veered off in a completely different direction.
It's true, yeah.
But speaking of Chopin, you have recorded, understandably, a fair number of pieces by Chopin, and at hand we have, from at least we acquired this back in 2010, a CD devoted to Chopin Etudes, Sonatas, and Impromptus, and what would you tell us about this impromptu in G-flat?
Well, it just happens to be my favorite. It's very tricky because it's basically all on the black keys, or very much on the G-flat. It's a difficult key to play in. And it's a typical Chopin. It's, yes, technically very difficult, but and it goes very, it's very fluid, and every note is part of a melody. You know, that's what's interesting about Chopin, that even with the fastest passages, and they're not particularly fast here, but even the fastest, if you slow them down, they're melodic. They're part of the melody. I think you're beginning to see that I like lyrical and melodic.
Something to be said for that.
Yeah. So you'll like this piece very much, I think.
The Impromptu in G flat by Frédéric Chopin, played by my guest, Janina Fialkowska, and she is in Madison to perform tomorrow with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, Beethoven's fourth piano concerto with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. Well, you say because of all the black keys that it's a rather or a relatively difficult piece to play, but you certainly made it sound easy and graceful and melodic.
Thank you very much.
What did Arthur Rubinstein say to you about how to play Chopin?
Ah, very, very, I did learn a great deal from him about Chopin. And the most important thing was to play it as simply as possible. You know, not, it doesn't need to be, you don't need to add huge rallentandos, huge rubatos. He used to say, just let the music speak for itself. You know, just follow the melodic lines. And what I was saying before, it's terribly important with Chopin to realize that every single note, including fast ornaments, are part of the melody and should be treated as such. The other thing he taught me that's extremely important is Chopin, a little bit less in this piece perhaps, but in most of Chopin there's a very strong underpinning of Polish folk rhythms. And you either know them or you don't, or you learn them.
Well, you have the Polish background. Does that help?
It should help. Yeah, I like to say it helps. But honestly, you can if you're aware of it, then you can learn it. But for example, so many of his pieces were dances, polonaises, mazurkas, Krakowiak, all of these. And even pieces like ballades and scherzos, all the way through, you can find some of these rhythms. And they're uniquely Polish, I have to say. And so, and they're extremely important in his music to have this very strong sense of rhythm underneath everything. So I did learn that from Rubinstein. And probably the final thing I learned from him is he said he really couldn't stand dead sounds or wimpy sounds. And so what he made me very, very
What's
aware of...
What's the Italian for that, I wonder?
What he was that when you play very, very quietly, you have to always remember the person sitting at the back of the 3,000-seat hall. Mm. And so very early on, he made me aware of this and that one has to project. One has to learn how to project an extremely quiet sound.
Yeah, so kind of an oxymoron almost.
Yes.
Well, we have that problem or challenge with this piece by Francis Poulenc?
I don't think so. This is just a delightful, very delightful piece by a composer that maybe is underrated. I think he is because he's very brilliant. And this piece has such flavor of Paris. I mean, it's like it's going to seep through the microphone here.
I'll be listening for that.
Okay.
Intermezzo number 3 in A flat by Poulenc.
Thank you.
a charming Parisian style, as you say.
Yes.
And,
lovely.
Yes, great stuff. And we don't have a lot of time, but this is a really interesting piece that you recorded a long time ago, certainly by November of 2000.
Yes.
Something of a discovery, this, is it even originally called Concerto in the Hungarian Style?
Well, what happened was Liszt composed it originally for piano, just for piano alone. Liszt had a pupil called Sophie Mentor, one of his favorite pupils. He had very good pupils. And she played it and thought, I'm going to take this to Tchaikovsky, which she did, but did not tell Tchaikovsky that it was by Liszt, because Tchaikovsky did not like Liszt at all.
Oh.
Yes, well, who knows why.
Well,
but anyway,
yeah.
And Tchaikovsky, oh, this is interesting, and he orchestrated it. And that's the result. So if the orchestration sounds a bit Russian, it is. Uh-huh. And the piece itself is...
called the Concerto in the Hungarian Style.
Yep.
Liszt and Tchaikovsky and Janina Fialkowska with the Calgary Philharmonic, led by Hans Graf.
Thank you.
that's some pretty crazy stuff there, Yanina.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I've lived a fairly long life, and I've done some pretty crazy stuff. It's all in my autobiography, so...
We'll have to snap that up, yeah. Especially if there's a CD included.
Yeah. Lots of CDs, and it's out on e-reader and hardcover. I'm pushing my book there. Okay. Sorry.
It happens to the best of us. And, well, it's been a great treat getting to meet you, and look forward to hearing your concert tomorrow night with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, the Beethoven Piano Concerto number 4.
Yeah, with Andrew, who's an old friend of mine.
Oh, so?
We go back about 25 years.
Well, that would be a long friendship in music.
Yes.
It has been, it's been a pleasure, and thanks for sharing your music and your insights.
Thank you.
And our quiz question is after this here on WPR.